Coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
The fireworks are back, and so is the music. But are we playing the victory song for the right side?
Nonetheless, it has become really nationwide a proud part of most people's 4th of July celebrations.
The maestro of the Boston Pops explains. Plus, they've been holed up making music together during the pandemic.
Is this what it's gonna take?
Now they've added wedding bells. All that, plus a rundown of area 4th of July events and the regional news and review after this.
Trump is deep inside to point you to your true north.
Simply superior news and issues from a superior point of view.
The fireworks are back, and so is the music. But are we playing the victory song for the right side?
Nonetheless, it has become really nationwide a proud part of most people's 4th of July celebrations.
The maestro of the Boston Pops explains. Plus, they've been holed up making music together during the pandemic.
Is this what it's gonna take?
Now they've added wedding bells. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Today is July 2nd, and being a Friday, it's the start of a long July 4th holiday weekend, all the way to the official day off on Monday. The calendar this year means several days of activities, and finally, after last year's cancellations due to the pandemic, a return to outdoor celebrations in the region. You can probably just follow the sound of fireworks, but here to guide you better for the official events are our resident gurus on what to do and where to go. Joining us is Linda Nervick of TwinPorts.com. Welcome to Simply Superior, Linda.
Hello, Robin.
And to take a deeper dive into Superior and Douglas County celebrations is Nikki Fromakis of the Superior and Douglas County Area Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Nikki.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So, everybody, you should grab a pen and paper or your electronic device and start taking this down. So, Nikki, what's the weekend hold for us in Superior and Douglas County?
All right. Well, things kick off on Friday in Superior at 7 o'clock p.m. at Barker's Island Festival Park Pavilion. The 132nd Army Band will be coming and having a very patriotic display of wonderful music right here in Superior. That's just one awesome way to kick off a wonderful 4th of July weekend.
I'm sure it is, but I need to ask you about the music. You said patriotic display. Is that group playing the 1812 Overture?
Well, I certainly hope that they do, but I can't guarantee you what they're going to play. I just know that they are the Army Band. They tour all over the place. We are very lucky to have gotten them to come to Superior for this weekend. Bring a chair, come on down to Barker's Island. You won't regret it.
Well, the reason I'm asking is I've long wondered if it's the most historically appropriate piece of music we could be playing. But stay tuned, because in just a bit, we're going to have somebody who's going to explain exactly why it's on the program in almost everybody's July 4th celebration. So I cut you off at Friday. How about the rest of the weekend?
Well, if you are anywhere in Douglas County, you will find something to do. Starting today, July 2nd through Sunday, July 4th, Gordon is having their Good Neighbor Days. That includes everything from a flea market to a 5K to food, music. Gordon is well known for their fireworks display. That will be on Saturday the 3rd. And then they round things out Sunday with a mud volleyball tournament, which is super fun to go watch if you'd like to see that. Lake Nebagamon, if you're in that region, they have events going on starting tonight, July 2nd. They have a spaghetti feed tonight, 5 to 8. Tomorrow they'll have a boat parade, And then they'll also have fireworks on 4th of July. The Tri-Lakes community is also having some 4th of July events, including a canoe and kayak race on Sunday, July 4th. That starts at 1. And then if you are out in the Solon Springs area, they have their parade at noon and fireworks at dusk. The best place to view that would be from Lucius Woods County Park. And then the City of Superior is also having a huge bash for the 4th of July. Their big event, which is their parade, starts at 11 a.m. and it's going to include a flyover from the 148. There's a huge car show happening down at Tower Avenue from 1 to 7. Lots of music all day. And then at Richard I. Bong Veterans Historical Center at 1:30, you can meet President Teddy Roosevelt and General Patton. Super cool to see these reenactors come through. And then music down at Barker's Island to end the night. We have Hornucopia at 5 p.m. and then Pop Rocks at 8. And again, our fireworks are just the same time as Duluth. So if you can position yourself just right, you can see both.
Well, Linda, you've got a rundown from across the region. Some of these have already gotten underway, correct?
Yes, Madeline Island has events going on at Big Bay State Park through Sunday, July 4th, which they actually kicked off last night. So there's a fun one in Cornucopia with fish fry on Sunday. Ashland has a parade at 11 a.m. Sunday and the Ashland High School Jazz Band at the Band Shell at 8 p.m. Hayward has activities starting at 5 and fireworks at dusk. On the Minnesota side, Two Harbors has day-long events on Sunday with the Northwoods Band playing at 7:30 and fireworks at dusk over Agate Bay, beautiful Agate Bay. Ely has its fireworks over Miners Lake, also at dusk. Cloquet has its fireworks scheduled Sunday night, 10:10, and they say to watch them from anywhere in town, but not Veterans Park. Up on the range, Eveleth has events on Saturday and Monday. The fireworks are at 10:15 Saturday night. They're also having a big, fun street dance Saturday going from 8:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. And there's going to be a parade on Monday up in Eveleth at 9:30 a.m.
So Eveleth is actually the one that's not doing something on Sunday.
Correct. I guess they're letting everyone do their family stuff. So what else? Oh, the biggest. How can we forget the biggest event that's happening, of course, is in Duluth on Sunday. This is Fourth Fest, and it is at Bayfront Festival Park. The gates will open at 4 o'clock for the music at 4:45. There is Danny Frank at 6 o'clock. Sid and the Boys are playing at 7:15. Brianne Marie and the Front Porch Sinners. And at 8:45, the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra will take the stage and play throughout the rest of the evening, and the fireworks will be at 10:10.
We are speaking with Nikki Fermakis of the Superior and Douglas County Area Chamber of Commerce and Linda Nervig of TwinPorts.com. We're talking about a whole weekend and more of 4th of July activities, music, mud, volleyball. I hadn't expected that. So even though we're calling this, or I'm calling it, post-pandemic, what precautions should we be taking? Obviously, we know the ruling. You don't have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated. Of course, nobody knows if you are vaccinated, so it's the honor system. And are we still doing social distancing, or how does that work?
You know, I think it's really what's your comfort level? So a lot of the events that are happening in Superior and Douglas County are all outdoors. And there is a ton of space to distance if you want to. You don't have to be next to someone if you don't want to be.
Yes, that is the beauty of the 4th of July in the Twin Ports. There are many beautiful vantage points. You can find a spot out on the hillside that you could see both Superior and Duluth fireworks.
And another option, by the way, if you have one, is a boat, which has always been the case. I'll tell you right now, if you're within 6 feet of another boat, you got another issue to worry about.
Exactly.
Any good places in the harbor if you're viewing by boat, Nikki?
You know, I think off of Barker's Island is a really great opportunity because you can still see, you know, down the lane to Bayfront Park. I know last year I didn't even miss the fireworks because I just sat out on my front porch and just watched my neighborhood make up for what was missing. So I think wherever you park your boat, you're going to see a good show.
And if you are one of Nikki's neighbors or mine or Linda's or anybody and you are doing what I call an independent display, we cannot stress enough that you exercise safety, caution, and following the laws, which I don't know what they are, so I'm not going to repeat them to you. But trust me, you know, these are explosives, and they should be handled accordingly. And Linda, you wanted to say something about their effect on more than just humans.
Yes, there are quite a few very anxious pets that you can't explain what's happening, and they have fear of loud noises and storms and things like that, but they get very fearful of the loud fireworks and firecrackers and things like that. And so I saw recently somebody had posted on social media, let's have some consideration for our neighbors and their pets.
All right. Well, at that, we've been speaking with Linda Nervig of TwinPorts.com and Nikki Firmakis of the Superior Douglas County Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, and happy 4th, everybody.
Coming up, let's get to the bottom of this overture, shall we? So Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture has become the mainstay of 4th of July celebrations across the country, but I've long had a question about it, and it's not just me asking, because of both the political history of the piece by the Russian composer and how it became connected to the American holiday. Well, we've traced those performances back to the first one presented by what has to be the premier orchestra associated with the work, the Boston Pops. And here joining us from Boston to tell us the story is the conductor of the Boston Pops, Keith Lockhart. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you, Robin.
So I think I know my history, and I'm not talking about any revision or cancel culture, whatever they want to call it, but there's universal agreement in the way the War of 1812 is and was taught, which is that the Russians and the British were on one side and the French and the Americans on the other. Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture is celebrating the defeat of the French in Russia, isn't it?
Yes. Well, you know, I suppose I should answer that question with a question. And why does any tradition become a tradition? it is true. Your history is more or less correct there. The 1812 Overture of Tchaikovsky was written in the 1880s to celebrate a Russian victory over Napoleon's troops in that war of 1812. It has nothing to do with the American victory over the British in our own war of 1812. But nonetheless, it has become really nationwide a proud part of most people's 4th of July celebrations.
Mm-hmm. We won't get into historical nitpicking here, but I'm not sure it's entirely nothing to do. We were allies, so, you know, I think we rooted for one side or the other. So why did the Boston Pops start playing it for the 4th of July?
Well, therein lies the story. And I'm proud to say the Boston Pops has been, you know, a leader in a tradition setter in so many ways. Why not in that way as well? It dates back to, I believe, 1974. When Boston businessman and entrepreneur philanthropist David Mugar who was a good friend of Arthur Fiedler, the conductor of the Boston Pops at that time. The two of them actually were both kind of firebugs. They loved getting together following the Citizens Band radio and going to meet the fire trucks where they were fighting various fires. And one time, Fiedler was a little distressed because the attendance on the Esplanade, where we have offered free concerts to the people of Boston since 1929, was beginning to tail off a little bit. And he said, we really need to revitalize this 4th of July program. And David Mugar said, what's that piece by Tchaikovsky that has the cannons and the bells in it? and Fiedler said, well, that's the 1812 Overture. And he said, I think if you do that, people are going to love it. And so they started doing it. People did love it. They enlisted local army reserves to fire the howitzers out over the Charles River. And they enlisted the local churches that ring the Esplanade to ring their bells at the appropriate time. And this was first seen by the whole country in 1976 in the televised bicentennial concert. And it kind of took off. And now it would be almost impossible for us to imagine doing a 4th of July concert without it.
So you could say it spread like wildfire, or about cannon fire, right?
Yeah, it spread like cannon fire, yes. But, you know, the thing is, and people have for many years harumphed that this piece is not about anything that we necessarily celebrate on the 4th of July. But I think the answer to that is, you know, why does anything become a tradition? It becomes a tradition because people expect it, because it sets off certain things with people, excitement or whatever. And it's part of the celebration now. I think what's in a name, I suppose, at the end of the day. The audience loves it. It has spread to pretty much every orchestra, big and small, around the country by this point. And so I think, like so many things, you know, this is a country of assimilation. We bring people in, we take their cultures, we take their traditions and customs, and we make them our own. And I think this is just another example of cultural assimilation on a broad American basis.
All right. So no one's ever accused you of being Benedict Arnold's or a Russian spy.
Not that I know of. People have accused me of many things.
Well, if you'll indulge me once more on the historical vein, I don't know if you've ever studied a map of Wisconsin, but if you look at the top, you see the Upper Peninsula, which for some reason belongs to Michigan instead of Wisconsin. There is a reason. Congress gave it to them. There was something called the Toledo War that Ohio and Michigan were actually going to fight over. And the deal was to give the Upper Peninsula to Michigan. But there's no geographic reason for this, sitting on top of Wisconsin.
So that's how the Upper Peninsula, I always wondered that it makes a very odd-shaped map. And I always wondered about that. Thank you.
Well, good. I just enlisted you on our side. And so if Wisconsin ever decides once and for all to invade it and take it back, is there a battle hymn you could recommend?
Well, I think the 1812 Overture has already proven its versatility. So, you know, it's either that or On Wisconsin. So,
all right. We won't argue with that. We've been speaking with Keith Lockhart of the Boston Pops, the originators of the 1812 Overture as a staple for the 4th of July, even if it's celebrating whatever. Okay.
Something else.
Thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure, Robin. Good to talk to you.
You can hear the Boston Pops live performance, including the 1812 Overture, though not necessarily On Wisconsin, at 7 p.m. Central Time on July 4th on Bloomberg TV, or during and after the 4th at Bloomberg.com. Coming up, Pippi Ardina and Daniel Leahy making their beautiful music together. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. If you're a fan of the local jazz scene, then you have to be familiar with Pippi Ardina and Daniel Leahy. They're a vocalist and piano duo and a real-life couple, we'll talk more about that later, who actually aren't quite local but have been longtime fixtures at one of the region's top jazz venues, the Odenberg House in Carlton, Minnesota, Or they were until this pandemic thing hit. Since then, they've been holed up and webcasting from their home in northern Illinois. Pippi has been performing more than 35 years, which, as I said the last time they were on the show, is amazing since she's only 39. She's performed at Mr. Kelly's in her hometown of Chicago, and she was a Twin Cities Jazz Festival regular and has performed with everyone from Liza Minnelli to Bill Clinton. Her accompanist and other half is composer, pianist, and vocalist Daniel Leahy, who has played around the world and performed with folks like Louis Belson, Clark Terry, and, of course, Pippi Ardina. They join us once again from their Illinois home. Welcome back to Simply Superior, Pippi and Daniel.
Hey, it's great to be here, Robin.
It sure is.
So you've been sitting out the pandemic. I'm going to ask the personal stuff in a minute, but music-wise, how's it been going?
Well, we've grown a great deal, finding out a lot of things to do and how to communicate and stay in contact with our fan base by doing virtual performances at home.
Yeah, Robin, as devastating as this pandemic has been to so many people, there are also a lot of benefits because we've found that the industry is not the same as it has ever been. You know, kind of like the saying, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
We make some really good lemonade, Robin.
Well, I've heard it, and we're going to hear some of that in a minute. And yes, like many other of performers that we've had on the show, and of course, thousands more that we haven't, you're mastering the web broadcast. And the benefits of that, there's no end of people who can now accompany themselves, multiple Pippies on the screen, right? And a company, I think you do this, don't you? You have, I think you told me you're director or isn't necessarily in your living room.
Right.
We've recreated our living room into a soundstage.
Yeah.
And we moved the living room into our dining room. So at 68 years old, I have learned so much more about technology than I ever thought was possible. For the longest time, we had a gentleman by the name of Christopher Hubby, who actually relocated into Indianapolis. And while we're performing, he takes over our computers and does the sound and video for us from Indianapolis. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where it is technically and musically. And again, we're going to hear some music in a bit. What about personally? Have there been any major changes in your life since this thing? He said as if he didn't know.
We've had a huge change. Pippi and I met each other in Minneapolis about 6 years ago. And 5 years ago, I asked her to come and live with me. And go ahead, babe.
And then on the 21st of April, we got married.
There we go. Yep. See what happens when you can't leave the house?
Yeah, right.
Actually, quite seriously, did you leave? How did you, where did you get married? You know, a simple remark like we got married in the old days, right, used to mean, oh, they went to City Hall or they had a big wedding. But, yeah, how did you get married on the 21st of April? That would be this year.
Yeah.
Right?
It was actually a funny story. I was doing one of my morning vlogs, and in it, I was doing a little scatting at the end of the song, and I said something to the fact to Pippi, because she always listened to it, let's cinch this deal up and go get married. And she, after I got off the blog, she never said anything. And so I thought, what the heck is that all about? And then I played it again
at night
later.
Yeah.
And so then she finally heard me say that, because when I was saying that, she had gotten a phone call, so she didn't hear it.
Right.
So then she asked me, she says, are you serious? I said, well, of course I am. So we went down to the courthouse. While we were in there filling out the license form, a friend of mine who's a retired judge came in, who also marries people. And he said, what are you guys doing in here? And I said, we're getting a marriage license. You're getting married. That's great. I said, I see a card here that says you marry people. You want to marry us? He said, I would love to do that.
Yeah, so we were able to do it right in our town. And we had friends that are the owners of the coffee shop. And they said, come over to the coffee shop and we'll just have some cupcakes. But when we got there, they had the most beautiful cake made.
Three layered.
It was absolutely beautiful, and we had friends, a friend of ours that bought flowers for us. So anyway, so the whole thing was magnificent. It was quite amazing. Kind of a lot of fanfare for something that we were just going to do 2 weeks later.
We are speaking with Pippi Ardina and Daniel Leahy. They are a vocalist and piano duo and real-life couple, now official real-life couple, and Mazel tov to both of you.
Thanks.
So we will celebrate with the song, The Call of the Light Chasers.
Well, the Light Chasers is each and every one of us. One of the things that we really address in the song is choosing love over conflict. We had gone through a training regarding creating a win-win situation around us rather than a win-lose. And we address it in this song.
I
And that was The Call of the Light Chasers by our guests, Pippi Ardina and Daniel Leahy, a real-life couple and regulars, and I hope you will be regulars again back in our area when things open up. Are there any performances scheduled yet?
We are getting a lot of calls around the country to perform again, and just working through the logistics of how that will transpire and take place.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, of course, you're doing online concerts, and where can we find those?
At our webpage, which is www.pasinpaulnasandancydasindanielmusic.com.
Yeah, and we do monthly performances that people can purchase for $30, $30 per household.
Well, let's give them another hint of what they might see. How about, is this what it's going to take? Tell us what this is about.
Well, this is what it's going to take is basically saying that, is this what it's going to take to turn this world around? We have kind of things that have just been kind of wibbly wobbly. And what is it going to take? And it takes us to, you know, align ourselves to take our eyes off of what's going on outside of us and start focusing on what's inside of us. So that's what we address in Is This What It's Going to Take?
All right, and let's take a listen. And that was Is This What It's Going to Take? By Pippi Yardinya and Daniel Leahy, who have been, I said holed up, but of course they're happily together, happily married together in their home in Northern Illinois. You didn't just experience the pandemic academically. You had a firsthand experience.
Oh my God, we sure did. We thought we did everything correctly from the time that the shutdown came in March 2020. We had to cancel performances, and so we immediately followed all the protocol. January of 2021, we got it, and it was a rough haul. 2 weeks of very being very weak, losing our taste and our smell, fever, body aches.
Yeah, it was the worst thing I've ever experienced. I remember Pippi talking afterwards to somebody. She says, I guess we didn't have it that bad. And I look at her and I says, speak for yourself. But considering the travesty of so many that have been hospitalized or actually lost their lives, from that vantage point, right. I guess we didn't have it that bad. But it was rough. And then so we went through the quarantine after that. Then we got vaccinated, and we've still been very careful following the protocol.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know if wearing a mask or if not wearing a mask helps, or what these different variants are going to be, you know. But right at this point, we feel like superheroes because we had COVID. And we also have been vaccinated.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to take a guess as to what this song will be about, but you can tell us more. We'll go out to it. We are speaking with Pippi Yardinya and Daniel Leahy. And 20-year getaway. What's that about?
We were in this Think and Grow Rich class, and one of the exercises was for us to imagine our lives 20 years from now. So all the dreams and ideas that we have today, how write a story line of how that shows up 20 years from now and one day spent in that 20 years. And so, of course, Daniel and I rewrote a song about it. And so what it really is talking about is having your dreams and your hopes to align.
And it sounds like you've been living that dream. We've been speaking with Pippi Yardinya and Daniel Leahy. Thank you for joining us.
Robin, thank you so much for inviting us on your show.
Yes.
We love coming here and chatting with you, and we can't wait till the next time.
Thank you so much, Robin.
So small, but it don't really matter anyway. Legends come and stay, and yet some may fall, but it all depends on what we think and say. So take a pen and a pad and write your story. Your hopes and your dreams can align. So just get away. Get away. Let's take a trip that takes place in your mind to create the world that you want to see. Your dream has come to life.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin. You know, I have to say that I had absolutely no idea about the backstory for the 1812 Overture, so that was really interesting history lesson right there.
Right. You know, as a journalist, I'm always careful about using words like first or only when describing historical events. It is possible, since Tchaikovsky wrote this thing in the 1880s, that somebody played it at some 4th of July before the Boston Pops in 1974. But can we say without quite the big bang that that one became?
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it without the cannons. It's right there in the score. I mean, you gotta love the song. It just fits, especially with our firework obsession, right?
Right. All right. Well, for those who'll be watching the fireworks in the harbor, if you've got an oar boat and you need it repaired, there's some changes in the works. Brooks?
Yeah. Fraser Industries, the 130-year-old shipyard in Superior, has new owners, one of them based in Oslo, Norway. So Oslo-based Cleves Invest and Chicago-based Boundary Mountain Infrastructure Partners said recently they're starting a joint venture to take over Fraser Shipyards and its related businesses, which include Lake Assault Boats and a few other companies. So the 130-year-old shipyard has been owned by the Capstan Corporation since 1977, and the new owners have some global ambitions for it. They really want to pump some money into it, I'm told, and you know, Cleves Invest focuses on, in part on offshore infrastructure like wind turbines. So I'm hoping to learn more soon and share more soon about what plans for the old shipyard are. But rest assured, it's not going anywhere.
All right. Well, back to our pandemic or post-pandemic news. Duluth is wrestling with what to do with federal relief money.
Yeah, quite a bit of it, too. So Duluth is receiving $58 million from the American Rescue Plan, and that's more than Mankato, St. Cloud, and Bloomington combined. It's a lot of money. We're getting based on a formula that's used to determine sort of community development block grants. So that said, you know, the Mayor Emily Larson said this week that she wants to spend $20 million of that on affordable housing. and another 13 million for utility infrastructure like new water meters, getting rid of some lead pipes, and broadband. Another 12, 17 million is going to be used on Duluth City Hall or to offset lost city revenue. And then there are other smaller initiatives here and there. So this is one-time money, and they're trying to tackle some initiatives that doesn't require ongoing funding, while also trying to address the effects of the pandemic on neighborhoods that were harder hit, hence the affordable housing pitch, as well as get some of those lead pipes out of the ground, which we talked about recently. So the Duluth City Council will take it up soon, and we may expect a decision by the end of July on how that money is going to be spent.
Okay. Well, Danny, on the Wisconsin side, and closer to home or to our pocketbooks, the governor and the GOP-dominated legislature are arguing over more direct relief to those receiving unemployment benefits.
Yeah, for weeks now, Republicans have been pushing a bill that would eliminate additional unemployment benefits for Wisconsinites who lost work during the coronavirus pandemic. And Governor Tony Evers vetoed that bill. Basically, you know, the GOP in Wisconsin and the business lobby has been saying, you know, we have more positions than we can fill right now, and we feel like this unemployment benefit is a disincentive for getting people back to work as we're recovering from the pandemic. But Evers said in his veto message that there's really no evidence to support the notion that eliminating supplemental unemployment benefits would bring more individuals back to work. But it's certainly an issue that the state has been facing, not just now recovering from the pandemic, but before in 2019, we had a worker shortage prior to the COVID-19 crisis. And so we are seeing some efforts to try and get people out back into the workforce. So it's just been an issue now, especially because of the pandemic, but also it was exacerbated because it was already an existing issue.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin. Have a good holiday weekend.
You too. And all of you can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport. And you can also subscribe to their local newsletter. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Pippi Ardenia and Daniel Leahy. And more than any other time, I would urge you in this long holiday weekend, stay safe, everyone.
While you're simply sitting around
with your head down to the ground,
why not add a little play
when it seems like nothing's there?
Dreams down in the sky. Feel your heart with laughter. Show the people walking by.
Show them that you care.